2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Yo, 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 welcome back everybody to the DFS Army's flagship NFL podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines for FanDuel and DraftKings, where Kevin, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek, and yours truly, Chopadong, dive in to break down each and every game on the NFL slate. Kevin is the five-star general in the DFS Army and also top-ranked on Roto Grinders in both NFL and MMA. I'm your lovable host and chalk eater, specializing in teaching our newer members the fundamentals of player selection, contest selection, and bankroll management. Together, Kevin and I team up each and every week for the NFL season to put you in the right direction or point you in the right direction when it comes to game flow trends, analysis, and relevant statistics from both a cash and tournament perspective. We also go by the same names inside the DFS Army as well as out on Twitter. Kevin's handle is at FFootballGeek. And I am at Chopadong. So feel free to give us a follow. Kevin, how the heck are you this week? We had a huge week one.
Absolutely, yeah. Doing well, and it's always good to come into the season with positive momentum. That's awesome. So I'm feeling really good. We nailed it last week. We nailed it here on the pod, really. One of the best things I think we talked about was there's a couple of different fades, especially the high ownership on Bell and David Johnson. And if you remember, we talked about Bell coming off that long holdout and how he was actually quite risky, even though it was going to be so freaking chalk. And, you know, we talk a little bit about pivoting off to McCoy and Gurley. A lot of that stuff really worked. So, yeah, week one was awesome. I played a little less volume than I normally do, just because of the first week and you really don't know what's going on. But week two has its own interesting quirk as well. Which I'm excited to talk a little bit about as we go through these games.
Awesome. Well, hey, let's jump in.
Great. Starting Thursday.
I'm ready if you are.
Yeah.
Start Thursday night. All right. Houston Texans at the Cincinnati Bengals. This game has a 5-point spread favoring the Cincinnati Bengals. Has a really low, kind of nasty game total of 38 points. I see on our little DVP chart, you know, for those of you that have just tuned in, you can scroll along in this article if this is how you found us. Down at the bottom there, we've got all the games broken down with the DVPs. I see some greens and some reds sprinkled in there. Are we even playing this game, or is this the classic Thursday night fade?
No, I mean, I rarely will use players in the Thursday night game or even play that slate. This is one of those situations where you actually can play this slate because there's virtually no chance that great fantasy performances are going to emerge from this Thursday night game. I mean, I suppose Bengals defense has some appeal, but outside of that, AJ Green maybe, just because AJ Green is a stud. And normally if this game was during the week, you know, during the regular weekend slate, the Sunday, you might say, oh, I'll play AJ Green because this low total of 21 points for the Bengals, no one's going to touch Green. And that's probably true, you know, or Eifert or something like that. Like, one of those guys will probably come through. But they're not going to come through big. And most likely, skipping this game, unlike last week where if you didn't have Hunt, and let's say you faded the Thursday and you missed out on Hunt, you pretty much were in trouble for those tournaments. You're certainly not winning the tournament without Hunt last week. Nothing is going to come out of this game that will win a tournament for anyone, I don't think. So for that reason, yeah, I would encourage people actually to play the Thursday through Monday night slate and just really avoid this game completely and hope, although I think fade Thursday is not a secret anymore and people already right. Do it, but hope that the players from this game are maybe just a little bit higher owned than they should be.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, is there any point in spending any more time on that game, or do we just want to move to the next one?
Nope.
Right on.
Next one.
automatically ahead of pace. I love it. Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville Jaguars. In this one, the road team, the Tennessee Titans, are actually a favorite with a 1.5 point total. And there's a 43.5 point game total on the game as far as, you know, implied points being scored. Now, this is another one where on one side I see a bunch of green, on the right side I see a bunch of red. Tennessee on the road seems to be facing a decent defense, but and then the question I would ask you when you get to Jacksonville is Fournette viable for cash carrying all that workload? So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to see the Jags really favored to have a good game script going for Fournette, but yeah, Fournette's in play. Here's this is the thing. The Jags actually, I mean, last week they really destroyed the Texans. And by destroy them, I mean literally destroyed them. Three concussions. The Texans are a disaster. Brian Cushing started taking steroids after the game. He was so pissed off. He's busted. The whole team just got messed up last week, right? And you're like, holy cow, the Jags defense is pretty good. And it is. They have good personnel. And again, they got rid of Gus Bradley, who is really one of the worst head coaches I've ever seen. And so a lot of good things going for them. They lost to Allen Robinson, which sucks for them. But in general in this game, the Titans don't have much of a defense, certainly not great on the road. The Jaguars should be even better defensively at home. Tennessee is an interesting challenge for any defense because it's just the nature of the offense that they run and a little bit with Mariota doing some stuff with his legs. But these two teams are familiar with one another. So I definitely don't see a lot of merit in playing anyone for a week like this. When you're talking about these low totals, I don't see any merit in really messing around with the Titans all that much. I mean, you could say, maybe I'll play the tight end because Delanie Walker is always in play. I don't know. I don't see a lot of really merit in this game at all. Jaguars defense, yeah, they're good, but the Titans are not some team that turns it over a lot. They're not a they don't gift defenses a lot of points. There are other defenses in better spots this week. So outside of who you mentioned, actually there's more than that. Because the Titans are bad, there's a couple of punts that are emerging from the Jacksonville game with Allen Robinson out that you have to consider just for the purposes of affording other players. I like Fournette. I don't know how much I'm going to play him again because of the low total because his team is an underdog. But Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns, I mean, they're stepping up into, quote, featured roles. Now, the Jaguars don't really have a good quarterback, but, you know, if you throw it to Marquise Lee enough, at 3,800, for example, on DraftKings, he doesn't need to do a lot to bring some value, right? So if you're trying to afford some of these studs, maybe a Marquise Lee has a good game, and he has 20-point upside. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want every position to bring that 20-point upside, and why not? I mean, if they throw it to him, if he can catch a touchdown, why can't a guy like Marquise Lee catch a touchdown? You know, I think it's possible. So I think he's worth playing.
Okay. Well, I mean, that works for me. I kind of wondered, those names are starting to circle around a little bit. I just wondered how viable they are. I mean, I know personally I'm not that excited about them. I've got other guys in other spots, but either way, I guess, you know, in punt pricing, what can you do? You want to move to the Cleveland Browns game? We might as well just keep the train rolling, huh?
I mean, let's go to that one.
Works for me. Cleveland Browns go to Baltimore, and this is obviously we're going to have a little bit more to talk about here. In Baltimore, with the Cleveland Browns coming in as 7.5-point dogs, making obviously Baltimore 7.5-point favorite at home, another nasty low total, 41 points. Again, DVP chart. This one has red all over Baltimore. I'm assuming we're not using a lot of Browns, but to be honest with you, I think the Baltimore defense, just because of that, looks like just wicked serious chalk.
Baltimore is going to be a popular play. They dominated the Bengals in a scary way last week on the road. Now you have a not as good Cleveland team coming into town with a rookie quarterback in tow. So, yeah, they'll be chalky. I actually thought the quarterback looked competent last week. So, you know, for whatever that's worth. But rookie quarterbacks are generally just not good. There's a few plays here. There's really nothing on the Baltimore. Oddly enough, I don't really see anything on the Baltimore side I'm interested in. Flacco has... he's still coming off the injury. You know, he's not in game form, so you don't really want to go nuts with his pass catchers. I mean, the guy threw, what, like 15 passes last week? Some very small number.
Yeah. When they saw 17 pass attempts, but.
Yeah, whatever it was. I haven't studied. But, I mean, he didn't throw a lot of passes last week. And more importantly, he's out of sync. Like, understandably, he was injured. This is the Cam situation. I warned everybody. It was funny. I warned everybody. You can't trust Cam's arm. You can't trust Greg Olsen. You can't trust Kelvin Benjamin. I said this last week on the pod because the guy didn't practice. He didn't have a preseason. He just started throwing a week or two ago. And Cam already is, you know, he shoots, he throws over your head when he's in the best of times, when he's in form, when his all of his footwork is perfect. When he's not, I mean, he was just launching air balls the entire game. Now, it didn't matter that much because they had Christian McCaffrey and, you know, the defense dominated. It was the 49ers last week. But
it mattered if you played Cam.
Well, you shouldn't have. I mean, I said not to play him. Why would you play him? What are you doing? Why do you listen to this?
Hell,
you know what I'm saying? Why are you here? Why are you listening to this? You know, people were talking about Kelvin Benjamin on all these tout sites. And I'm like, these guys literally have no idea. Just, he's cheap, I get it, but they have no idea what they're doing. So that was great. And I think I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach with both Flacco and Cam. Let me see this guy. Like, they're both in good spots offensively. Both of these guys. Flacco is. I mean, it's Cleveland. They're not a good defense. And again, I'm talking about Cam because he's the next game on this docket, and there's so much similarity between these two games. Literally, I can actually just interchange these two games exactly. But the same thing with Cam. He's playing a very bad team with a very bad defense, and you're like, well, he's going to get right here. Yeah, maybe. But I think I'm going to wait and see on it. I'm certainly not touching any of these players in any sort of a cash game. I'm going to tell you a couple of people that interest me. As a contrarian kind of, you know, I just like Coleman from Cleveland. Chris Coleman.
Chris Coleman. One of the two. Here we're going to have the same Derek Carr, David Carr issue all over again.
Oh, my gosh. Will I never say it right?
It's Corey Coleman. It's the dude on Cleveland with the last name of Coleman.
Yeah, the wide receiver guy. One from Cleveland. And a lot of the reason why I liked him last week, too, is just he's cheap and he's the top wide receiver. And those few games he played last season, he looked amazing. He had a great college career. So I like this guy pretty much every week because he kind of reminds me of – he's just a big play guy. And even against the Ravens defense, which is very good, Cleveland's just going to be slinging it. Browns just going to be slinging it. What else are they going to do? They're going to be behind. They're just going to be slinging it. Like, so this guy has a chance to catch a big touchdown or two. He can have a nice game, even as an underdog on the road. That said, I'm not playing him in cash, and his price went up enough on DraftKings that I'm not super excited about it. I would have liked him last week when he was a lot cheaper. But it's a name more so to keep an eye on or to keep an ear on. But outside of that, these two games just don't interest me very much.
There's one thing I'll interject there. I mean, in the offseason, we do a lot of reading. And not to completely derail the train, but one thing that I got tipped off to was watching for how the websites price these players, because they know nobody's going to be playing. You know, like if you're going to face Clayton Kershaw in baseball, all of a sudden all the other batters are priced way down towards the minimum because they know nobody's going to take them. So they kind of bait you and tempt you into taking them. They're doing that a little bit apparently with football, with road dog wide receivers that are facing very, very low totals, like under an 18. Well, right now the implied team total for Cleveland is 16 points, and they are a big road dog. So that plays into your Coleman play. Now, again, cash safe, probably not. But it's one of those things that I'm very interested this year in tracking and seeing if the pricing, if what I was reading, isn't kind of onto something. Because if they've unlocked a discrepancy in the pricing algorithms, dude, that's like a cheat code. That's a big deal.
Until they change the pricing algorithm and then it messes up that whole thing.
If it becomes common knowledge, they'll change the code, whatever. But until then, I'm kind of trying to keep it hush hush. And of course, I just broadcast it to all 8 of our listeners. So, you know, what are you going to do? It's just something I'm really, really interested in tracking. And this is a perfect situation for it. So,
absolutely. I will add to that one of the other little pieces of information I gleaned off of one of actually Chris Raybon's articles, and he's a sharp guy, mm-hmm. is just how the least consistent situation is actually the home dog. That's of all of the fantasy scoring, especially for quarterbacks and wide receivers, but for all, I believe it was the least consistent scenario, the worst case scenario pretty much for fantasy points is a home dog. And I was kind of surprised. I thought it would be the road dog, to be quite honest. But it's actually home dog is because I think I know why. Because if you're a home dog, if you're an underdog at home, chances are you really suck. Because
that's true.
Almost any situation, like you get that bonus. So like if it's close, that was my guess as to why that is. I don't know that for sure. You know, it was just a statistic that was brought up. But if I had to guess, that's why. It's kind of like, wow, if you're home and you're still an underdog in this game, you must be way worse than the other team. And that's kind of what I got out of that. But let's move on from these two stinkers.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You want to skip over Buffalo, Carolina, or you just want to breeze through it?
I guess we'll breeze through it. You know, hit the numbers and...
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. I'll set it up for you. Buffalo goes into Carolina. Carolina is a 7.5-point home favorite. Another low total, 42.5. Lots of red on the DVP charts everywhere we look. My only thing is, you know, Shady on the road gets a lot of work, so I'm not going to be probably playing much of him. But in my season long, if I've got him, I'm going to start him. Cam looks great on paper, but again, dude can't be trustworthy until we see something, right?
Yeah, you can't trust Cam. Needs to show that he can throw the football, not 5 feet over his wide receiver side. Understand this about this team. They know that this guy lacks accuracy and touch. They went out and got these massive tight end looking wide receivers to account for the fact that their quarterback throws the ball over their head every time. Right? This is they know this in Carolina. Don't think that was a mistake that they took Devin Funchess as a freaking wide receiver when he's basically a tight end. They do it on purpose. But you know, he's made up for it. He's gotten a little better, his footwork. But I think not practicing all summer, coming off an injury like he did, that's going to set a guy like Cam Newton back a little bit. And so I just don't like his arm. I don't think he's going to be able to complete. He's going to be efficient as a quarterback. And we've talked about quarterback efficiency and how important that is. And so why am I going to take his pass catcher? I mean, yeah, Kelvin and Olsen will have a nice game once in a while, and maybe I'll miss it, but I'm going to wait for him to prove it before I start investing my hard-earned money on these players who are not priced cheap enough to make me want to take the risk.
Sure. No, it sounds fair to me. I mean,
Christian McCaffrey, I do want to say, is certainly in play here. They're going to he looked great last week, I mean, albeit against a really shitty San Francisco team, but he looked like a guy who's going to get a lot of touches. But at the same time, I probably don't like the fact that Jonathan Stewart's still there and he's still doing his thing and he's still getting all those touches too. So, you know, McCaffrey, yeah. What I like about him is they use him in the pass game, and that's great, and he gets those DraftKings points. But he's not quite cheap enough on DraftKings to really get me excited. Like, there's a much better play at the exact same price level in Ty Montgomery, like a million times better play and about the same price. So I guess you can call this, you know, a GPP sort of tournament crazy contrarian pivot or something, but I just call it probably not a very smart play this week. Yeah.
Well, talking about smart plays, let's roll into the next game because this one's going to take a little while, I'm sure. New England Patriots going down to NOLA to visit the Bayou down there in New Orleans. This game is huge on paper. You know, we've got a 6.5-point road spread favoring New England, which interests the hell out of me. 54-point total on the game, which could be 60 for all I care. Now, for me, I mean, I know these are the two quarterbacks facing each other that I constantly hear. You know, the Brady, and you can't trust his pass catchers, and New Orleans, and you can't trust their pass catchers when they're at home. And so we always hear naked Brady and naked Breeze and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I can't believe we're about to get naked here with both men. So I don't remember really what to tell you other than just I can sum it up in about one sentence for you. It's raining
men. Really?
Well, I mean, what can you do? We're here to have fun, man. I had to have some fun with you and set that bad boy up. You tell me, since I just set you up and threw that one in there, you tell me what you think about the rest of the game. I was more just having fun with it.
I am going to explain to the listeners here, or a couple of them, the concept of naked, meaning what you're talking about is not stacking a quarterback with one of his wide receivers. And, you know, like Drew Brees has definitely been the kind of quarterback where that's always a consideration. Years past in particular where they were really all about spreading out the targets on the team. And so, you know, you really could never quite tell if it was going to be, remember with Marquez Colston and Brandon Cooks and Jimmy Graham and who was that other dude who was on that team for years? I can't remember, but I can't remember his name. But
well, it had Ted Ginn in there for a while too.
Ginn is in there now this year, but in years past, there was
He was a Carolina guy.
Yeah, there were some other ones, but it doesn't matter. But the point was they would spread it around. So it was always difficult. A lot of times you just said, nah, screw it, I'll just take Brees because he could throw five touchdowns to five different, you know, and Sproles. And they still kind of operate that way. So when it comes to Drew Brees, I'm always comfortable using him without any stack at all. There are some situations that I like stacking, but just in general with this game, I mean, when you have a 54-point total, we want to get as much action out of this game as possible. Both of these teams don't play very good defense. But by both of them, I'm going by the Patriots' performance in week one, where their defense seemed completely out of sync, really just not doing anything well. Now, offensively, they didn't seem in sync either, which is, I guess, a mild concern. But Brady's been a slow starter, and he's got some new wide receivers, you know, particularly when Brady, guys who are precision quarterbacks who run a system like this, when you get a new guy, like Brandon Cooks is the new guy in town, right? And Brady's the kind of quarterback that needs a comfort with a wide receiver that's built up over years. There's a lot of trust. It's a complex offense. So it's really difficult for me to actually trust Brandon Cooks, like as a cash play, for example, this week. I mean, I certainly like him in tournaments with the revenge narrative going on and, you know, his former team that traded him away and all of that. But I don't know if I trust him in cash yet. I just have to see, kind of like Terrell Pryor, where he's new on the team and you're just not 100% sure that he's going to click, especially with this kind of system that the Patriots run. All that said, I have some thoughts on this game that it might go, like, yeah, it's the highest. So we want to get as much exposure to a game like this as possible in cash. Michael Thomas is probably, of all of the position players, certainly in this game, the best play. And he's one of the best plays on the slate, period. Michael Thomas should have a really, really good day. I like Kobe Fleener on the Saints side. They don't have Willie Snead. Fleener was somewhat involved last week. He got a few receptions.
Five or six targets or something.
Yeah, he got a bunch of targets. And, you know, so they're using him. And again, he's cheap, and we're looking for cheap exposure to these high-flying games. I mean, if you ever notice when you play the two-game slates, how sometimes, especially if the games are exciting, you could play an entire slate, the 14 games, and, you know, the average scores are like, you know, 150. And then for the two-game slate with a game like this on it where you just basically load up, all of a sudden everybody's scoring 190, 210. And it's like, hey, wait a second. I had every single game on the slate to choose from, and I couldn't come close, including this one. And yet, when I was forced to choose from just this one and, like, one other, all of a sudden I scored so much more because that game was so much higher scoring. That happens. So in GPPs, regular concept, there's a lot of merit to looking at a super high projected game and just loading up on it. Even getting those secondary guys, the Chris Hogans and the Ted Ginn's and the Kobe Fleeners of the world. So just get a lot of exposure to this thing. But sure, I do have one crazy thought.
Go ahead.
All right. So we all know that Bill Belichick is the mad genius.
A crazy thought.
And here's my crazy thought on this game. And I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I had this premonition that the way the Patriots might kind of attack this game is to slow it down. keep the ball out of Drew Brees' hands. And how do they do it? By pounding the run with Gillislee. I'm talking about, you know, this could happen in one of two ways. I mean, it could go completely different. Obviously, if it's a back-and-forth scoring fest, that'll be one thing. But if the Patriots kind of take a lead, and the Saints' defense is not very good, right? I could see the scenario, and I've seen them do this with LeGarrette Blount last year, and I don't know if Gillislee has the talent to pull it off, and the sort of mini beast mode inside of him that LeGarrette Blount would usually bust out late in games. But I could see the scenario where the Patriots take a lead, and rather than sort of this toss and pass sort of game that I think the other big game of the slate is more likely mm-hmm. to devolve into, that this one turns into more of a kind of Patriots holding the ball for a long period of time, pounding the run, playing some defense. So of the two big games on the slate, this one I do have a little concern, and it also makes me mildly interested, in playing Gillislee a little bit. So
I would hope for tournaments only.
Yeah, tournament only. No, I have my cash running backs, and they catch passes. I don't use players like Gillislee in like cash games. But
as a tournament flyer, I mean,
I think it'd be interesting. Why not? Yeah, because, again, the Saints' defense is really, really bad. They can't stop the run. I mean, these numbers are 32, 31, 30. They're the worst in the league at pretty much everything. And I think these numbers, by the way, are from last week, not from the previous season. So they seem to have updated to week one numbers, which isn't super, super helpful, actually. It just really kind of tells you what happened last week. It's going to take about, I would say it takes about 4 or 5 weeks till our projections and our DVP numbers kind of even start to, you know, DFS Army projections are awesome, but they are not a crystal ball. When you have some data, that's when you can really do a good job. So it takes like 3, 4, 5 weeks even until enough data starts coming out so we can be a little more accurate with what we're putting together. And even these DVP numbers, I mean, you can't trust one game. I mean, it can go anyway. So it really takes, unfortunately with football, there aren't that many games. So you have to extrapolate from the year before and you have to do some things, use our eyes, watch what happens. So we'll see what happens here. But I think of the two big games this week, this one holds a little bit more risk, but still way better to target in cash than pretty much every other game on the slate.
If you were targeting in cash, would you be pinning down somebody like Brady and then stacking with somebody, or would you just limit yourself to Brady and then maybe take a Michael Thomas or maybe take somebody from the New Orleans game and then just for cash game purposes, just jump out of it from there? I mean, for GPPs, you stack both sides of it, whatever do you know, pretty much whatever you want to do. But if you're trying to limit your exposure to risk, is that like one thing you maybe take one piece from one side, one piece from the other side, and then split? Or
I just look for the in cash. I want the safest high upside plays. Again, I look at this game and I see Michael Thomas as a very, very high upside, but also safe floor kind of a play in this game. I don't really think there's this sort of a known fact that the Patriots will take out the opposing team's best player, blah, blah, blah. We all know this. But I don't think you can focus in on the Saints team, the way that they run their offense. It's really difficult. I would almost say virtually impossible to focus in on one player with the offense they run. They run a very diverse offense. They're very good at it. They've been doing it for a long time. So I don't think they'll be able to pull off like taking Michael Thomas out of the game. And I didn't see anything last week in the defense that they put up against the Chiefs that tells me that they even have the personnel right now defensively to really stop this Saints offense. So that's what I said. That little scenario I painted was probably fairly unlikely just because the Patriots defense certainly didn't seem in sync last week, and so they could turn it around, of course, but I don't know.
It's interesting. Well, rightfully so, we spent a lot of time on that game, but we can put it to bed and move on. I don't anticipate we're going to spend a lot of time on this next game. Arizona Cardinals at Indianapolis Colts. Home opener for the Colts, and they welcome in the Arizona Cardinals, who are a 7.5-point road favorite. This one is sadly one of the higher totals at 44.5, but it's not exactly high. I guess the questions here are, who replaces DJ and gets the workload? Should we even bother with projecting that or trying to even figure it out? I mean, personally, I'm not going to. And I mean, honestly, I'd rather talk to that ugly chick at the bar than talk about the Colts.
Well, yes. We have to talk about the Colts because there is fantasy scoring potential in this game. So you have to look at it, and you have to understand where the potential comes from. And part of that is the suckiness of the Colts. Them being pretty much, like, I'm just going to say this. Just my luck as a Jets fan that the 1 year we finally decide to tank it and go after the number one pick in the draft, and there's two great quarterbacks coming out, there are like three or four other teams that really suck to the point where it's going to be a race for zero wins this season, and it's pissing me off. Like, this is our time. But the Colts look like they're going to compete with the Jets and a couple other teams.
This is the wrong competition.
Yeah, for worst team in the league. And damn it if the Jets division isn't worse than the Colts division. So I think the Jets have a better chance of squeaking a win out there. Unless the Colts get luck back at some point, which I don't know if I see happening. So that said, I do have a fantasy play I love. A couple of fantasy plays I love, and I do have some thoughts on the Arizona running back situation. But number one, everybody's talking about the Ravens, the Seahawks this week, and some of these other chalk defenses, the Raiders, right? Screw that. I like the Cardinals. Of all of those teams, the least efficient, the most horrific, and especially the fact that the Colts refused to name Brissett the actual starter. They were like still rolling out Tolzien as if he didn't show
tells
them
you what you need to know.
A horror show last week. Like, really? So the Cardinals defense, everybody's like, well, they suck. They got torched by Matthew Stafford. And you know what? The Lions do that to everybody, okay? You go into their house. They make these fourth quarter comeback. That is what they do. It's a known thing. These guys still have Patrick Peterson. They still have a great defense. I love Arizona defense this week, and I love the fact that it's probably going to go under-owned because all of this hype around Seattle and Oakland and what was the other one? Let me roll these all out.
Well, even Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore. That's all everybody's talking about, and I love that. So the one negative is, at least on DraftKings, the Cardinals are the most expensive defense, and I hate taking the most expensive defense. Hate it. But it's going to be difficult because I do think they will be lower owned. So I'm really going to try to get a lot of exposure to Arizona defense. And now to talk about some of the other things. The Cardinals had a bad week last week. They want to wash the stank off. Okay? They're not coming here to eke out a close victory or something like that. They want to wash the stank off of an ugly week one game. Number one, they have already announced that Kerwin Williams will be the starter, and he'll be spelled by, you know, Andre Ellington, and I don't know about Chris Johnson. I don't really believe that a player, although I've seen it happen, I don't really believe a player comes off the scrap heap week two of the NFL season and is ready to play that weekend. I mean, we saw Le'Veon Bell. He wasn't ready to play week one because he hadn't had a training camp, and I don't think Chris Johnson was in training camp with anyone. I mean, I could be wrong. I'll do a little more digging on that. But I don't think he was in a training camp. I think he was out of football. So I don't think they brought him in thinking, yeah, week one we're going to play him a ton or at all. So what I think is going to happen is people aren't really realizing that Kerwin Williams is going to play in this game. He's got a cherry matchup. There's not, yeah, against the Colts defense that's basically non-existent. And on top of that, I do think the Cardinals are going to be throwing to their wide receivers. I don't mind, you know, Fitzgerald as a cash potential play this week. He should be fine. I mean, the negative is they're not going to need to score. They should be able to score defensively, for example. And I don't like pairing up a defense with offensive play. I think if the defense is scoring a lot, it's taking away points from the offense. So we don't want a ton of it. But there is some interest on the Arizona side of the ball. And obviously, Kerwin Williams, particularly on DraftKings, I didn't check his – I don't have the FanDuel pricing in front of me. I haven't really looked at it. You know what, I'm going to here, but particularly on DraftKings, he's priced cheap enough that I think he's worth a shot. I there's a couple other running backs in that price range that also are worth a shot, and yeah, Tarik Cohen and a few of them. So yeah, I'm going to give it a shot.
Kerwin is $6,100 on FanDuel and $4,800 on DraftKings.
So I mean, that's super fair priced. You know what I'm saying? Like $4,800, that's not bad. I mean, that's the same price point as CJ Anderson.
If you can project the workload. Which, not at 4,100. He doesn't need a lot of work at 4,100 if he catches some passes out of the backfield and whatever else. I mean, 6,100 on FanDuel, he needs some work at that price to me. But
Let me point out. 10 rushes last five rushes last week. Didn't do much with them. Two targets in the passing game. What does that tell me?
Three down back.
I mean, they at least used him in the passing game.
Right.
Two targets. Now, he only played for like fourth quarter. I don't think they're going to bring in Andre Ellington in the fourth quarter, and I don't think Ellington, that they believe in him as not even just an every down running back, anything but a scat back. They've tried it twice with him, and it hasn't worked. So, I will tell you, I went pretty aggressive after Kerwin Williams in all of my season-long leagues, whereas I probably went too aggressive with my FOB because my bids were so much higher than everyone else. So, I clearly am not on the same page with the marketplace on this player. And not that I think he's some super stud or anything like that, but I just think, hey, he's going to have opportunity. Not really a whole lot of competition. So, you know,
Here's what I will tell you. Here's what I will tell you in regards to that before we move on to the next game. Just so people can see what it looks like when I shove my nose squarely up your ass. It's really, really simple. The adage that I love is when the world gets scared, get greedy. And when the world gets greedy, get scared. And this is one of those fantasy situations where the world is a little bit scared. Workload, we don't know who's going to be who. And here's the geek, a RotoGrinders rated NFL DFS player getting greedy. That should be a clue to our listeners that this is a situation, maybe it won't pan out, but this is a situation worthy of taking shots at. Because when it does pan out, you collect the gold for yourself.
I like it. I do listen to sentiment. I think you remember last year, week one, when you and I had a conversation about D'Angelo Williams. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the specific conversation.
Well, it was week one, and it was this bad matchup against some team that was Steelers were at home, and D'Angelo Williams was starting, and it was this bad matchup against a team who was good last year against the run. I was like, who cares? The guy's underpriced. He's on the Steelers. They're going to throw it to him. They're going to keep him in for three downs. We've seen what he does. He was replacing Bell for 4 weeks. It's not like they're trying to save him. After the 4 weeks, he's finished. I was like, play the shit out of this guy. And no one, and he was low owned. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I can't probably believe people aren't playing this guy.
And he put up like 30 touches too.
He put up two touchdowns. He was well over. I believe he put over 30 points up that week. And I said, I didn't expect 30 points, but at 4,100 or whatever the salary was, I was like, you can't not play this guy. And it was just weird that no one was playing him. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, he's playing. I don't remember what team it was. Yeah. So whenever that scenario comes up,
you get greedy.
I love it. Yeah, I like those situations.
Sweet. It's easy adage.
If we're talking a lot of strategy here, one of the other strategies for week two in general, and I'll talk more about this on the VIP pod. I'm going to really dive deep into this. It's one of the topics I want to get into. Is people are going back to what they saw last week in week two. You know, week one, no one had any baseline for off of which to base anything. So we all were like, I don't know what the hell. That, you know, there'll be some excuse making for a lot, especially the other groups and teams out there, not the DFS Army, but other ones that actually had really bad weeks week one. A lot of the industry, from what I saw, just got smoked. I mean, I was looking at one of these tools that looks at pro lineups and entries and stuff like that. And these guys got smoked last week, crushed across the board. And, it's easy to make excuses. Hey, it's week one, and I get that. I agree with it. Well, we didn't know what's going on. So week two, what's everybody doing? They look back at week one, and if your guy didn't do good in week one, we're like, oh, he fucking sucks. I'm not playing him. Screw that. When it's just these massive overreactions, or like if he had a good week one, everybody's like, oh, this guy's awesome. He's going to be amazing all year. Like you see it in your season-long league where people are making trade offers for, you know, like getting rid of Le'Veon Bell or, just crazy offers for players that go like Terrell Pryor, like, oh, he's finished. He's terrible this year. Kirk Cousins, he sucks. He's not going to have a good game all season, you know, or anything like that. They're trying to dump these players and all of that. Or get on players too heavily for a big week one. So we have to use that psychology to our advantage. And that's a lot of what I'm going to talk about in the DFS Army exclusive VIP podcast for our members. So if you are a DFS Army VIP member, that podcast, the Strategy and Player Picks podcast, will probably come out Friday night into Saturday morning. And if you're not currently a DFS Army VIP member, that podcast is coming out Friday night, possibly Saturday morning. What are you waiting for, right?
There we go. Yeah, well, just we've got a link at the bottom of the page for you guys that will give you a little coupon code to jump into if you guys are curious as to what we offer and what we do. I'll tell you what, let's move on. Let's make up for some lost time here. Next game is Philadelphia at Kansas City Chiefs. And it's another, to me, it's an intriguing game because I think this one's a little bit of a sleeper. Kansas City at home, 4.5-point favorite, 47.5-point total. This is another one I almost threw another song clip at you because I was singing in my head all day long today, you know, Come On Baby, It Hurts So Good. And just John Cougar Mellencamp's just flashing through my head.
I'm going to have to put the kibosh on any of these sound.
I'm not going to sing it for you.
Please don't.
Ultra cheese. But bottom line is, I don't mind going back to the well here with him. I know there's a lot of other plays that I'm going to like better for cash and stuff, but I don't think he's terrible. The one trap I don't want to fall into is the freaking Alex Smith trap. I've fallen into
it. How is that a trap?
2 years in a row.
Who is that stupid? No.
Well, apparently I was.
Yeah, no.
Because I fell into it last year and season long. I went and drafted a dude, picked him up, and was just like, oh, my God, what did I just do? So anyway, fire away. Tell me about the game.
Alex Smith. Is Alex Smith. He's a player who's been in the league for 13 years. I know exactly who this man is. He will have a game like he had 2 or 3 times a season. That's Alex Smith.
He did one last year, too.
Yeah, he had 2 or 3 games like that. Let's not go crazy. You would have to be out of your freaking mind to play Alex Smith this week. All right, let me start here. The Eagles' defense is good. Okay? They were one of the better units from last year. It translated to week one. This is why everybody thinks Kirk Cousins is finished and he sucks now. Like, all of a sudden, he turned into crap. No, he had a toughie. You know, the team's not in perfect sync. And you bring in a pretty good defense. And same shit happened to the Patriots. Shit happens. But let's understand. The Chiefs are never going to be this high-flying, you know, score a lot with the quarterback. They don't even have wide receivers. No one. They have Tyreek Hill, who's basically a gimmick player, does really good at it, and he's awesome. I really like him actually this week, but he's a gimmick player, and some of those scores that he's pulling off are via the run because they run him, they do these screens, they basically run special plays for him. And I love Kareem Hunt. He's great. I drafted him in the second round of my fantasy drafts. I was all over this guy, but he's not going to pull off another 40-point game, or he's not likely to pull off another 40-point game. He's reasonably priced on some sites. I will tell you that. I believe on Yahoo, they priced Hunt up over and more expensive than Le'Veon Bell, the most expensive player on the slate. Really? Really, Yahoo? Fucking guy has one good game? He's better than Le'Veon Bell now?
That's some dynamic pricing.
I love Yahoo pricing because it's so soft. It's so easy to beat it, but nonetheless, really, Yahoo Hunt number one overall. So here's the deal: this game, there's not a whole lot to like here. On the Kansas City side, sure, if you want to use Hunt, okay, cool. You don't really want Kelsey. The Eagles have been one of the best tight end stopping defenses in the league for more than one season. It's not a mistake. You know, I look for a longer-term trend than just like, oh, the last couple games. No, they've been stopping the tight end for a couple years. So while Kelsey can have a good game, he's not in a good spot, and I don't want to pay up for him. So screw it. You know, he's not a guy I'm going to have much exposure, certainly not in cash. On the Eagles side, the offense, they're projected for 21 points. There's other places to look this week. Their running backs are garbage. There's no running backs, so you're looking at Ertz, as you said, but Ertz is going up against, the argument for Ertz is Eric Berry injured for the year, the safety, and he was covering the tight end. All right, reasonable argument. Ertz gets a lot of targets, but they jacked up his salary like crazy on DraftKings to the point where he's basically about the same as Jordan Reed. So at some point, there are better plays, or I want to go down to a Colby Fleener type and save some money at tight end. Or if I'm paying up, I might as well just grab Jimmy Graham. He's not that much different in price. And I think he's less. Yeah, okay. Ertz is priced above Reed, Kelsey, Graham, Delanie Walker, Eifert, Rudolph. I mean, come on. The only person above Ertz right now is Greg Olsen. Now, is Ertz a super stud at tight end? Maybe. But I don't know if I fully bought into that yet. I mean, is Ertz now the third best or second best tight end in the league? I mean, are you saying that with your Ertz so good song?
No. But I'm also looking at FanDuel pricing primarily over DraftKings, where he is the seventh highest price. He's down there at 6,100. It's down there with Martellus Bennett, Hunter Henry. Yes, Rudolph is cheaper than him. Austin Hooper is cheaper than him, both of which I would prefer. But what I'm saying is, and I, like I said, I probably am not going to do this in cash games myself, but I wouldn't mind going back to this to the well to get off of some of those really, really cheap guys in the game we're going to talk about here in a little bit, or the New England New Orleans game.
I mean, I hear you there. And like I said,
that's literally my only point.
I don't think Ertz is a bad play, per se. You know, he's fine. But I think he's probably maybe not in as good of a spot as like a Jimmy Graham.
Oh, I would agree 100%.
Or Jordan Reed against a raid. But here's the thing, and this goes back to what I was just saying before. Everybody's week two saying, you know, I saw Jimmy Graham last week, he didn't do shit. And I saw Jordan Reed last week, and he didn't do shit. So I don't want to play those two assholes. They suck this year. But Ertz had a big game. So that's the guy I want to play. There's going to be a lot of chasing in week two. And I want to try, certainly in tournaments, but even in cash games, to understand, there is a lot of volatility in the NFL. And just because Graham didn't have a great week one and his whole team didn't look great because they were on the road and facing a defense that always owns them, or Reed, same deal, didn't look good, a little off, fine. We could chase week two if that's what you want to do, but know that these guys are not bad players now. Their teams don't suck. They will have good games. Jimmy Graham, great spot at home.
Jimmy Graham's in a phenomenal spot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great spot at home. San Francisco, they don't have a lot of running game on Seattle, so they got to, you know, throw it to score a little bit. So, you know, why wouldn't he catch a touchdown or two against San Francisco? I think he's got a better shot at that.
Good total.
Yeah, a better shot at that than, I mean, KC defense is good. I'm not one to target teams on the road at KC just in general. That's not a play that's going to pay off, certainly not in cash. Generally, it's not going to pay off. KC's a good defense at home. They're a nasty place to play.
Let me ask you this. With Carson Wentz and his short little passing ball control, is KC defense in play?
KC defense is in play every single week of the season. Now, this week, they're not in the best spot. They're not going to be chalk or anything like that. But, you know, their price is cheap enough that at $2,900 on DraftKings, yeah, they're in play.
Okay.
Rams, Chiefs, there are some cheaper defenses that you can play this week. Absolutely. Chargers. The Chargers at home. There are some ways to save over that $4,100 to $3,800 level on DraftKings. Again, I apologize for talking more about DraftKings. It's just what, you know, I can't keep them both open on my screen.
It's no big deal. You do that all the time. You do that, I can counter with the FanDuel.
There we go.
You want to move to Minnesota and Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Let's rock that one. Minnesota goes to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 6-point favorite at home, which actually kind of surprised me a little bit. 45.5-point game total on that. I personally never saw that Sam Bradford in St. Louis. Not once. That dude looked amazing. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to go to Pittsburgh and do the same thing. My two questions to this game, I guess, are a little bit around Sam Bradford, Thielen, Rudolph, those types of guys. But the next one is, do we go back to the Le'Veon Bell well in cash games?
All right, let's tackle two different things because you have tournament and cash game situations going on here. And I just want to state, with all of the big crazy games this week, with those two, with the Saints-Patriots and with the Falcons-Packers, that, you know, there's some merit in GPP to trying to look in some other areas to see what's up. And the Vikings defense is good, just in general. They're a good defense. They're not good. They're very good. We know this. But Pittsburgh at home is no joke, and especially against non-divisional opponents, they just crush it at home. That's just the Steelers. That is who they are. They crush it at home. Now, the Vikings, again, really good defensively, so we're going to keep a lot of people off of this game. A, there's a lot of attraction to those other chalk games, and I think there's merit every single week of the season when the Steelers are at home of doing some sort of Steelers-based stacking. This week, I could even see some interest in pitting Ben, Bell, and Martavis Bryant together as opposed to Brown in some sort of a stack. We've seen in other games where when a top cornerback comes in and, you know, blankets one guy, the other guy benefits. We saw last week with the Chargers and Denver, the Chargers actually have two very good, very, very good cornerbacks, and the slot man for Denver winds up catching two touchdowns. No, I never heard of him before. And he comes out and catches two touchdowns because you couldn't really complete passes on the outside very well. I mean, Sanders was basically stifled, and even Demaryius Thomas barely did anything in that game. So they couldn't throw to them. They couldn't complete passes. And because of that, you know, they went to the other guy. So what am I saying here? There is some merit in tournaments in looking at the Ben, Brown, Martavis, and Bell combination here. I think a lot of people are going to be on Diggs and Thielen and Cook as well for the Vikings. It feels like chasing a little bit to me.
That was one of my main questions. Is, I mean, they've only got a 19.75 total on the road. I mean, that to me isn't that impressive.
It feels like chasing to me. This is what I was talking about, where we watched Thielen, we watched Diggs, we watched Cook and Sam Bradford, like, all have really great games. We haven't seen a lot of players from a lot of these teams have good games yet this year because there's only been one game.
Right.
So I think a lot of the – I'm definitely fading the Vikings completely in tournaments just for ownership reasons. I don't think that they'll be bad. I don't think Pittsburgh defense is particularly that great. But, you know, they're at home. And more so, I just think they'll be so high owned. I think they're going to be over-owned compared to where they probably should be. Again, the focus will remain this week on those other two games we discussed. But I do think you're going to see a lot of Diggs and Thielen in cash games. And I don't have a problem if somebody wants to do that. But, I mean, I could just – there are other situations – And I don't mind, especially in tournaments, getting away from that Minnesota offense this week, coming off that big game where everybody's kind of going to be on them. And I always like, especially when it's perceived bad and will force a very low ownership, which is what I think the Minnesota Vikings defense does. In a tournament, in those 100,000-person things where you need some uniqueness if you're going to win it, and I'm in it to win it, I don't play those to cash. Yeah, I'm going to do some crazy Pittsburgh stacks and see what happens, including Bell. And I like Bell in all formats. He is completely matchup-proof. Obviously, my biggest concern with Bell remains his workload. They didn't give him the workload that they normally do week one. And, you know, it's tough to trust the most expensive guy on the slate, unless we know for sure that he's going to get the touches regardless of if they're up or down or what the hell's going on, which is the standard Le'Veon Bell scenario. The other thing I'll say about Bell is, as much as I might like him, at $9,800 on DraftKings, I'm looking elsewhere. I don't see any way he brings value back. Like, he's got to score for like 50 points, 45. You know, if he puts up 26 at that salary, it's a disappointment. So if he puts up 30 at that salary, he didn't even barely make cash value. So, I mean, that's a lot to ask from a guy. Probably too much at that salary. DraftKings, you need to take a chill. You need to go to Chill Town with the salary here of Le'Veon Bell at $9,800. He's a little more affordable on – everything's a little more affordable on FanDuel. But, again, I love some of the RB values this week to the point where I'd rather spend up for some of these – super stud wide receivers, particularly on FanDuel, where you can afford it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we've hit halftime here. We're at game 9, And we're at about a 54 minute mark. So we'll speed up in the second half, I guess, as we get to cruising along. Let's take a quick 10-second break. They'll get the listeners a little bit of information. And we'll be back here in about 10 seconds.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on dfsarmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, that was a quick 10 seconds for me, but we're sitting on the next game, which is the Chicago Bears going to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay makes their season debut finally after the Hurricane travesty. Hope everybody that lives down in that area is recovering and is on the path to greener pastures again. But we're looking at a 7-point favorite out of the Buccaneers and a 43-point total, which again is back on the low side. We have a lot of low totals this week with big spreads, which is really, really odd. How are you handling this game with the whole Cohen buzz? And, you know, I guess the debut, we have absolutely no information on the Buccaneers whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs are a tricky situation on their side. And unfortunately, it's because of natural disasters. And I don't really know exactly kind of – I think they left Florida and they've been practicing somewhere else. I mean, the team hasn't been there. And I did speak to some people I know in Florida and ask them, and Tampa wasn't really one of the places that was really hard hit. But all that said, I don't know that they're in their routine. I'm a little concerned about the Bucs in general just getting their stride going. The first week, you know, they don't play it, and you know, they're practicing more. But I have some concerns about their offense as a whole, you know, from a cash perspective. Just because I don't like to take a whole lot of risk. I like to eliminate as many risks as possible. And there's just some unknowns here with the Bucs, just like what's been going on with them. I mean, you know, it's all these storms and hurricanes and all this crazy shit going on down in Florida. So we're just not sure exactly where their heads are at and all of that. That said, whenever a team's favored by 7, you know, and they're at home and they have a running back in Jaquizz who's cheap this week because he's a fill-in guy. But we've seen Jaquizz and he's been pretty good on occasion filling in for Doug Martin. And I'm not sure he's a fill-in. There is a scenario where Jaquizz Rodgers just is the starting running back. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen. I doubt it. But, you know, if he does really well, he has a chance. So, I mean, I like Quiz here. One of the things I was saying before the season started was how I like DeSean Jackson just in general on this team. I think in watching Hard Knocks, to be quite honest, I just see the respect they were giving him as a veteran. And I don't see a scenario where they just ignore DeSean Jackson. They're going to want to get him involved in the game. They respect him and they respect his game. And I think his game complements Mike Evans. So the whole team in general looks pretty good here. Outside of the hole, I'm not really sure where their heads are at. You know, again, mm-hmm. This hurricane, it's terrible. So, you know, people think about their families and other things, understandably, their well, their homes and stuff like that. So we just don't know this stuff right now. So
no, absolutely. But in the Houston Texans defense, we thought the same thing of them going in last week too. Oh my God, they're going to be fired up. They're going to come out balls blazing, and they laid an absolute egg. So who knows with Tampa Bay? I mean, on paper, they're in a great spot. They look good, but we don't have any information to go on. So
yeah, especially in cash. Why not, you know, again, lean towards what we've seen? And the teams having their second game are a little bit more in sync because they played an NFL game, and the Bucs haven't. So that is a thing. I believe it's real, and it's something to think about.
Well, that's absolutely real.
Yeah, I mean, and on the Chicago side, they don't have much of a team there left. There's not a whole lot of wide receiving talent at all. And what they did last week was, instead of just throwing it to wide receivers, which they assume they just don't have any of them, so they busted out with Tarik Cohen and kind of played him out of the backfield as a wide receiver, which was awesome for, you know, everybody who thought about playing Tarik Cohen week one, but I wasn't on that list, so it wasn't awesome for me. He was in that billion-dollar lineup that no one found. So I like Tarik Cohen again this week because the game flow, according to this spread, a player like Cohen, who's a pass-catching running back out of the backfield, you would think would do better in a come-from-behind situation. Last week, the Bears were come-from-behind against a high-scoring Falcons offense. By all stretch of the imagination and according to the Vegas numbers, that game flow scenario should be the same this week, so I don't see any reason why Tarik Cohen, who had 12 targets last week, and that is ridiculous for any position, but freaking awesome for a running back, shouldn't do at least somewhere close to that, even if it's 7 or 8 targets, or 5 or 6. That's still great. He's 4,100 on DraftKings. Fine by me. Maybe breaks off a 40-yard run, gets 5 receptions. Okay, I get 10 points. Not great, but good enough, and if he does anything with those receipts, I mean, this guy has 20-25 point upside. Why not play him?
Gun to your head, Cohen or Kerwin Williams?
Cohen.
Okay.
Specifically for the pass catching
PPR points. I knew you were going to say that. Absolutely. I agree.
I love pass catching running backs. I want those points. I want those PPR points. I also love the easy yardage that comes with running backs who catch a screen, as opposed to, I don't really love that check down, you know, 3-yard pass tackle type thing where they just have no one else to throw to. I like teams that run designed pass plays to the running back, designed to get them in open space, because that's where you get those big runs. And just running backs churning yards with their legs just can never compete with a different running back that gets 6 or 7 receptions. You just can't. So we always want the pass catchers. And Cohen is that. And as long as they keep playing him like they did last week, or even close to it, he's going to shoot up in price. You will see this guy, like if they do another game like last week where he gets 12 targets, next week you're talking 6,000 plus on DraftKings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to have some ownership this week, and that's going to help that number too.
Yeah.
No doubt. One quick question. 7-point favorite at home, low total, 18 implied points for Chicago. Is the Tampa Bay defense in play, even with the questions we just mentioned?
Yeah, they have to be one of the defenses in the, for me, in the GPP mix. But they're not okay. Going to be a cash play for. I have other places I'm going in cash.
Sounds fair. Let's move on to the 4 p.m. games. We've got the Miami Dolphins at the Chargers, and if you're looking at the graphic, that is the Los Angeles Chargers. Not just one Charger, we went plural. So Miami out in L.A., traveling all the way across the country west, 4.5-point favorite for the Chargers, 45.5-point game total between the two. You mentioned that the Chargers have two lockdown corners. I guess my question is, how many picks does it take to get to the center of a Jay Cutler pop?
There we go. We like the Chargers defense, is what it sounds like, right? Listen, Cutler, yeah, he'll have a nice game every once in a while. I think the first game with a new team, I think he's going to try hard. But this is a tough matchup for them. Chargers defense is the Chargers, people don't view them as a defensive team, but they are. They have excellent, just across the board, an excellent secondary. Their two corners are shut down. We saw it last week. They really, the Broncos couldn't complete passes to Sanders or Demaryius Thomas. They went to the slot guy. So I don't really foresee – Miami doesn't have a slot guy. I mean, I guess Landry is that guy if he plays out of the slot. But, you know, Devontae Parker, this is not a great matchup for him. It's not the game where I want to, you know – I like Devontae Parker this season, but not this week. Ajayi, tough matchup for him. I don't really see a lot of good things coming for Miami. And they also have that, again, that same issue of where the Chargers are a game in. They're already kind of getting in the flow. the Dolphins kind of had their whole flow messed up with the hurricane and the whole deal. And again, Miami really was devastated, way worse than Tampa, for example. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm in Miami and I live in a fancy football player house, which means I don't live in a condo somewhere up in the elevation, but rather I live in some ground level freaking McMansion.
Oh, yeah, right, and out there in the canals.
Yeah, I mean, in a, you know, by the water somewhere because I'm rich. You know, so there are families affected and other things on your head that really kind of mess with you and take your mind off of football potentially. Now, again, I don't know any of this to be definitive, but I'm just making assumptions based on humanity and just what I think goes on. So I'm not interested in Miami at all here. I do like everything. I think the Chargers are a very, very sneaky all-around play across the board. And remember when I told you earlier about how people remember last week and they kind of like project it to the next week, even though it's not appropriate because new games, new teams? I think people see kind of Keenan Allen, for example, putting up a dud. And it wasn't even that bad of a dud. I mean, he wasn't bad. And say, I'm not going to touch this. Yeah, he didn't do that much. He's only 5,800 on DraftKings. Okay? 10 targets in week one.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love Keenan Allen this week in cash. Hell yeah. Okay, they targeted him like crazy last week. He's not expensive enough to make up for the salary level or the target load. Like he's underpriced relative, and he's taking on he's in a game at home taking on a Miami defense that's completely nondescript. There's nothing special, as far as I know, about this Miami defense. So I love Keenan Allen this week. I love the whole Chargers offense as a sneaky play across the board. And I'm talking Melvin Gordon, one of my favorite, maybe my favorite.
Say it.
Yeah.
Say it.
Wait, it's pronounced Gordon. Gordon, one of my favorite plays
of
the week.
Flashback to last year.
Yes. One of my favorite plays across the board at running back this week. He's at home. Again, they never take him out of the game. Winning, losing, red zone, he's always there. I love that, right? Tyrell the Gazelle, or as I like to call him, T-Dubs. Yeah.
Nice.
Who's playing this guy? He's 4,700. Everybody forgot that he's even on this team. So he's going to be super low-owned. He's a good play. They throw it to him. I think even last week, you couldn't really throw it to the outside. Keenan Allen at least plays the slot, and there was reason to think that they targeted him more in Denver because he was probably not drawing coverage from those two really high-quality Denver quarterbacks. But Terrell Williams got 7 targets last week, too. Caught 5 of them. 10 points. You know, hey, that's okay.
I was against Denver. Harkening back to what you said last – ooh, good word, harkening. Back to what you said – last week with Keenan Allen was coming off a major surgery, an ACL. We got to wait and see. So that really solved your worries. The 10 targets made you just go, okay, ding, green light, time to roll.
They brought him back and they're using him in the exact same role. The challenge with Keenan Allen is this. He is used in a short pass play role. He's not. They're not throwing deep balls to him. That is what Terrell Williams is doing. So what we're looking for out of Keenan Allen is more of a cash-type performance where he gets 10 targets, 7 receptions, 80 yards, and pray for the touchdown. Or, 7 receptions, or you pass 100 yards. Now, if he gets 7 receptions, 100 yards, no touchdown, on DraftKings, it's not a bad day. For 5,800, he'll get you 7 points plus 10 points for the 100 yards, get a 3-point bonus. You're 21 at 6,000.
Bonus. Yeah.
6, 12, 18, 24. I mean, we're just floating at GPP value, certainly past our cash value. You have that nice floor where they're going to throw it to him a bunch of times. So what's the worst thing that happens? He gets you 12, 14 points. Okay. That's not winning me a billion-dollar lineup or a GPP, but that's a solid showing.
Well, it sure as hell help you hit a 50-50.
That's the thing. It gives you a nice, consistent – what kills you in your 50-50 are those duds on your team.
Terrell.
You only have so many duds. You don't want to take chances. So I really like Keenan Allen in cash.
Okay.
Terrell Williams, a little more. Terrell Williams is just like him across the board. He's cheaper than Keenan. He's going to get – no one remembers that he's even on this team for the most part. I mean, no one's talking about Terrell Williams this week. So, yeah, I like him too. And Gordon, hell yeah.
Yeah, he might be the top running back on the slate for me. But I think he's going to garner a little bit of name recognition, a little bit of ownership this week, whereas maybe, like you said, Gazelle, nobody's thinking of him. I'll tell you what, let's put a bow on that one. Move on to the – oh, here we go again, the New York Jets. Jets. Oh. Might as well have just gone J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
The embattled.
Visiting the Oakland Raiders. This is a massive 14-point spread in favor of the Raiders and a 43.5-point total, which puts, just for quick math, 28, 29 implied points on the Raiders and only 14 points, 14.75 points on the Jets. I don't know if the Beverly Hillbillies did better heading out west or if the Jets are going to this week, but my main question kind of surrounds the trustworthiness of Marshawn Lynch. This is one I really need your help on, because on paper, good Lord, he's a lockdown, but I don't know if I trust him yet. Do you?
He looked pretty good last week, but I don't fully trust him.
He got 22 carries.
He got a lot of touches. They didn't throw it to him, and that's a problem for me. So, you know, I've always had that mental block against Marshawn Lynch a little bit, just in general, because he just doesn't get receptions. But the guy, when he goes into beast mode, he does go nuts. So he looked pretty good week one. I'm going to give him credit. Got to give credit where credit's due. And I think the issue with this Raiders team is they do mix in the other guys. Like, it is not exclusively the Marshawn Lynch show. DraftKings priced him up a little bit. Actually, got it. Yeah, he had a couple targets last week, so nothing special. But actually, he was targeted in the passing game, which is I did not notice that. I'm seeing that now. But listen, a game doesn't set up any better for a running back than a minus 14, you know, than a 14 point favorite at home.
At home,
you know, you with the defense and the whole thing. The only question is, like, you know, will they pull him out at some point, because the other two running backs on this team also get a lot of touches? I mean, last week, I think Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington, is his name DeAndre? Yeah. DeAndre Washington each had a bunch of carries. I think, all right, so here, Washington had three carries and two targets, not so much. I think Richard had some activity, five rushes and a target, so... You know, it didn't seem like a lot for either guy, but, I mean, in the end of the day, actually it wasn't that much. You know, looking at this, that's not that much hogging at all. I don't like that there's this many guys.
That's what I was
going
to say. What's that tell you now, though? You got 22 carries and two targets or so for Lynch, and you've got five and a target.
Oh, he had 18.
Two
Lynch
and a
had, I believe, couple had of targets. 18. So, he
so
had
it was
18.
22 touches overall, I guess.
Yeah. 22
touches, meaning.
And then two
carries,
targets.
And, okay.
All right, so about 20. So, he got about 20, and then between the other guys, it was like 6 or 7. But that's pretty standard stuff. I mean, even teams that don't have a committee, that have a workhorse, you know, they bring the other guy in, like, you know, 8 or 9 carries versus 20. So that's really actually fine. Those ratios are fine. Actually, Marshawn Lynch, you know, the more I look at it, is probably very much a good play this week.
Is he enough to get you over, you know, some of the others, like Gordon, Hunt... who else? Ty Montgomery, we'll talk about in a little while. Quiz in Tampa Bay. And there's others I'm leaving off the top of my head. I can't remember. But, I mean, is he enough to get up in? Because it's always in, you know, how they compare to everybody else on the slate. Is he starting to climb up that list for you to where you might go, that actually is a pretty decent cash type play?
I'm not happy with his salary. And that's my biggest that's the factor I get past. Like, Marshawn Lynch is priced above Ty Montgomery on both sides, which I find somewhat unacceptable. I would rather use Montgomery. He is, I guess, reasonable. I would say he's a couple hundred less than Melvin Gordon. So I could see using – I just can't see using him really in cash. But I do think you have to have some exposure to this guy. He has 2 touchdown potential in a week like this. Like, you know, the Raiders' defense is going to put them in good positions. He's going to be on the goal line, and he's going to be used on the goal line. So I think he's got 2, even 3 touchdown upside in a game like this. So I do. You need some exposure to this guy in tournaments. He looked like his old self coming back on the road against a pretty decent Tennessee run defense. He's kind of off my radar until we just talked about it now. And I'm seeing, because I thought they used Rashard, and I don't like that there's 2 other running backs just in general that are being used on this team. It's just too many names, too many people. It reminds me of the Saints situation. I never play any of those guys because
I'm with you there.
I never play them. I'm like, yeah, one could go off, but they're so volatile.
That's why I wanted to bring it up. I didn't want to spend, you know, we don't need to spend 10 minutes on it, but that's just why I wanted to bring it up, because there are other high volume backs that are at different price points, and I don't know that I would want to pay up for Marshawn Lynch when I can pay down for somebody of a similar workload. And I think that's really what it kind of is going to come down to for me too. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I appreciate the discussion.
It's tough to really trust it, but I mean, I like Marshawn. As more I look at it, this game, this spread, I mean, it's hard to trust the pass catchers on Oakland, because I think they could just dominate defensively and just hand it off a lot and not have to do much in this game. That doesn't mean that David Carr isn't going to want to play toss and catch with Amari Cooper. He might, but they're certainly not going to need to. And if they're doing that, it's just going to be, you know, because the Raiders do like to stick it to the Jets. They traditionally do like to do that, but I can't say that that's going to happen here.
Obviously, the Raiders are a chalky defensive play. We're going to – obviously, that's just got green lights all over it.
Absolutely.
So moving on, Washington Redskins go out west to the L.A. Rams. Rams, I am really trolling Burns hard here for putting these sheets together. But shout out to him, because these things look really, really pretty, by the way. Rams are a 2.5-point favorite at home, 46-point game total. Can the Rams defense do it again, or does Kirk Cousins look better than Scott Tolzien?
Cousins is definitely better than Tolzien, and I don't think that the Rams defense doesn't play again. They're at home, East Coast team traveling west, played bad in the first game. So, yeah, they're certainly in play. Let's put it that way. Washington, not a good defensive team. So, you know, all of the usual suspects here are usable, girly, and whatnot. I don't really see this as like a game where I'm like jumping on board the Goff train. I'm hearing a lot of like, hey, let's play Cup and let's play Goff this week, and no one's going to be on. I'm not ready to jump on board the Goff train. I think last week was a result of them playing a very, very, very bad team. And you can't trust what your eyes showed you, because the Colts are basically a non-existent defense. Like, they don't put up any fight whatsoever. They don't have virtually any talent on that team. So you can't really go off that one game and say Goff is awesome, he's the franchise, and this team's going to be great, and Sammy Watkins and what's the guy? Cooper Kupp is a beast every single week. I didn't even grab Cooper Kupp off of waiver. Like, I think I'll have a couple of big weeks, but, I mean, am I getting super excited to get a Rams wide receiver and start him in my regular fantasy football league? No. It's still Jared Goff. He still sucks, guys. So his suckiness has not completely gone away. It's still there. Gurley, and let me take a look at Gurley's numbers here. Obviously, I played him. He did well for me.
That's gonna be my question to you. The 2.0 yards per carry.
Yeah, here it is.
Is he entering bust territory for you as just an overall player?
He miracled into the touchdown. Got a bunch of targets, which I like. Let's put it like this. The targets, I love. 6 targets, 5 receptions, 56 yards. He didn't do that last year. But on the flip side, he was rushing against the Colts. Now, it's very possible the Colts came in and said, you know, and maybe they are an NFL team, and there are prideful men who play on that team. And so, you know, when I say they suck, I mean, yeah, they're awesome because they're the NFL, but they suck relative to the other NFL teams defensively. But 19 carries, 40 yards?
Yeah, I would tell you this. because the St. Louis radio stations have a love affair still with the Rams because they now hate them. They stacked eight in the box. The Colts stacked eight in the box. Less than any other team did last year.
Really?
And he still only got 40 on the ground.
So the locals analyze this. Because I was going to say...
They totally bashed the shit out of it. They're not even stacking eight in the box like the other teams did last week, and he still can't get more than 40 yards. So I heard that little tidbit in my head, and as a DFS player, it made me go, dude, for real? I mean, you only had... six or seven guys trying up there to stop the run, and they still only held Gurley to 40 yards. What's up with that?
Here's the deal. There's a tool that looks at correlations, individual team correlations with players in different positions. And one of the greatest correlations was Rams defense and Todd Gurley. So what that told me is, when the Rams defense dominates the game, Gurley has a good game, and that makes total sense for this particular team and this type of player. This spread is -2.5. This isn't some crazy spread like last week. This is a -2.5. And last week it was only -3.5 or -4, but you and I did the thing and it was Colts were favorite. I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm betting this game. And by the time I was clicking it, it was already the Rams favorite. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, this is now... That's not changing this week a ton, and the Rams are only favored by 2.5. They're at home, so in essence, the Redskins are considered the better team here.
Yeah, Gurley's not a must play. There's no doubt.
I'm not playing him at all. I will not touch Gurley this week. Not one share. Let's be clear.
Good enough for me.
I'm also not playing anybody on the Redskins because this matchup seems horrible. No, scratch that. I don't mind Jordan Reed here. Jordan Reed is priced too low. He's too close to the other non-studly type tight ends. Reed remains a stud. Rams, at least on this graphic that we're showing here, and I have to do a little more research on that side, but at least on this graphic, the Rams are not some spectacular tight end stopping team. They're ranked 26th according to our charts here, and again, I'm gonna verify
if
that.
That's only week one. What did Jack Doyle do to them?
Jack Doyle had some good receptions. Jack Doyle had a nice week.
Obviously,
yeah,
based on that rank.
He did all right. Okay. I remember I was watching that game a little bit, and Jack Doyle's pulling down reset. Now, he didn't beast or anything, but he got a couple of receptions. So, let's see, where is that game? Here it is. Tight end. Jordan Reed. I'm looking at the wrong game. That's why I'm looking at this game and not the Colts game.
He didn't end up with any two touchdowns or anything like that. That would have shook the world.
No, but there weren't like these great performances last week in general. So...
At tight end, so that probably makes that.
Yeah, at
ranking.
Any position. Like, he had 3 receptions, 41 yards, which you wouldn't think would cause that, but maybe, 41 yards at the tight end position was a lot, or maybe this number's from the year before. I don't know. But what I do know is Reed is a beast. He always plays well. I like tight ends against really good defenses because I find that is a way that teams counteract good defenses. They, it's like when the Cowboys play the Giants with Katia, and it's always Jason Witten who's beasting. So I don't mind Jordan Reed here. I think he's underpriced for what he can do and the upside that he brings every single week. And that's it.
But you're pretty much fading all the other Redskins.
Yeah, I'm not touching anybody in that game across the board.
Well,
just maybe Jordan Reed. And I don't even think I'm going to do, I guess you could take some shots with Cooper, Kupp, or Sammy Watkins, but I really can't see. I can't see getting excited about either of those situations.
Okay, let's charge onward. Then we'll go to Dallas, going up into Mile High Stadium at Denver. Dallas, the road favorite here at 2 points. It's a very low total again at 42.5 points overall. This is a game we know that Denver's a little weak against the run typically. So this is a game where I see Zeke just freaking feasting. But Dallas isn't terrible on defense either. Who the hell do we trust from Denver here, if anybody? I mean, just like a McManus, just the kicker?
You could play C.J. Anderson, I guess. But in general, why? Why? It's a low total. There's not a whole lot of excitement going on here. I mean, both sides. Even Zeke Elliott, he's very, very expensive for a guy going up against a top defense. The reason that teams do better against I'm just loading up this game so I can look at some of these numbers. But the reason
probably
that,
a reverse funnel.
It's a funnel defense. It's not that Denver's this terrible defensive team against the run. They're okay. They have personnel that can do anything. The problem is
they lock down the pass.
They lock down the pass to the point where you just are forced to go to the running game. Zeke was used massively in week one, targeted in the pass game, 24 rushes. He's always a stud. Every single week, he will be studly in this game. But the thing is, they're not going to score. I mean, you know, can he produce the kind of numbers at his salary? His salary is actually a little depressed here. I don't mind it. I don't mind Zeke at all, actually, because his salary is depressed. Like, he's $2,000 less than Le'Veon Bell, and he's just a little bit more than Melvin Gordon. So, you know, from that point of view, yeah, I kind of like Zeke. If I had the money, the salary left over, again, I'm probably spending more on wide receiver this week than I did last.
You're talking about a tournament pivot, though, aren't you?
Yeah, but exactly. It's a tournament pivot.
I mean, it's not. Cash play would be Gordon at that price level, I would assume.
Or even going a little bit lower with some of the pass catchers. Or Gordon, who's going to do a lot of
damage. Just clarifying, because otherwise we're going to get those questions.
No, absolutely. So. Zeke is more of a – although I don't mind it. Like, I just think he's good every single week. You could play him in cash, too. Mm-hmm. You could play him in cash. He's good every single week. He gets a ton of touches. I don't think, again, that the Dallas defense is going to move the ball a ton. No one does against Denver. But, you know, in the end of the day, and the Chargers, we watch the Chargers do it, but the Chargers are a unique thing. They always play Denver well. They know each other. They're division opponents. They're not scared of the Denver defense. Other teams that don't face this defense all the time, they're just not as equipped necessarily to handle what Denver brings to the table. Like, I'm not touching Dez. I'm benching. This sickens me to say it, but I'm probably going to bench Dez Bryant in my fantasy leagues in exchange for players who are just not good. Like my backups are not that great to where you're excited. You don't want to bench Dez. You're like, shit, I really want to play this guy because I'm starting Kendall Wright or you know, Kerwin Williams or one of these injury pickups.
Dez has a track record of being shut down by elite cornerbacks anyway. So,
well, certainly
I can
the
totally
Giants
see.
Do it every time, and you know, I could see Dez having. I might change my mind there if my backup player is really terrible. But at this point, I had Dez on the bench in a few of my leagues because you don't really want. No one goes off generally against the Denver defense. You know, no one has the big game against the Denver secondary. Not wide receivers tend not to. So. I still have to look at that. I might change my mind. I'm not making any. I'm not telling anybody out there bench Dez this week. Like, you know, start Kendall Wright. I mean, you know, play your studs, and I'll probably end up maybe doing that also, unless I really feel good about my replacement. But in general, no, we don't want to play any of that offense at all, except for Zeke. Again, Zeke is pretty close to matchup proof. I don't think I'm going to do it. But certainly in cash, but I'm not saying not to. Let's go there.
Okay.
And with the other with Denver, yeah, I mean all the usual suspects are in play. Dallas is not a scary defense. You know, so if you want to play Emmanuel Sanders or Demaryius Thomas, mm-hmm. I normally don't play those guys all that much. But I mean, if you want to play any one of those guys, or even C.J. Anderson, you know, by all means, those are the names. I'm not going to have too much exposure though. Better games.
Yeah, you chase
to target.
The points on the 2-touchdown slot guy.
No. No, they're better games to target than this one. Wait.
Sounds good.
Where is my Sunday night hammer? Oh, we're not even there
oh,
yet.
Oh, it's
all
not
right.
Next. We're not there yet. So let's blow through this next one. You can probably sum this one up in a few minutes. San Francisco going to Seattle. Seattle's 13.5-point spread. They're vying for the biggest spread of the week with Oakland. 43-point total over under on the game in general.
This is the kind of game where you. This is the kind of game where you wish you can hone in. You wish Seattle had an actual running back that can be used because he'd be great in this spot. But you know, is it Rawls? I think so. I think Rawls is going to play, and maybe Rawls will come out of nowhere and have this good week. But who trusts that? I'd say it's a higher likelihood that he comes into the game after three plays, comes out with some sort of a sprain, and then the other guy, Carson, comes in. The only thing I know for sure is Lacy is fat and he sucks. Never play that guy, never draft that guy. If you did, you didn't listen to anything I ever said in 2 years or three, you know, my notes, none of it. So sorry for that, for anybody who did that. But outside of that, we really have no clue what the Seattle running game is going to look like. I have seen these scenarios where Seattle's heavily favored, and they don't just shut it down at home and just kind of like run out the clock or play. They just will score at will. I've seen these situations. Like, they'll just score at will. So, you know, I normally say, well, if it's a 15-point spread, you kind of don't want to get too involved with the pass catchers, because how involved will they be before they just kind of, you know, shut it down, or they score a lot defensively or whatever. I mean, Seattle defense is obviously in play this week. They're one of the better plays on the slate because San Francisco is just not very good. And I think Baldwin and Jimmy Graham are playable as well.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's it. Like you said, this is the kind of game where they might just try and get Doug Baldwin that third touchdown, because I've seen him do it before.
Yeah, and just so I've seen it. I've seen the Seattle team just put on points on a team, even when the victory is well assured. They just keep going with it. So, you know, I don't want to say, hey, don't touch these guys. They're in an incredible situation. They're at home playing against a terrible team, and they should be up early and up often and up big. But they're coming off a loss, and when you're coming off a loss, you want to watch again. You want to watch the stank off, and part of that is, part of that is just having a great game and putting up a big number and watching the offense get in sync. So I definitely think Russell Wilson would connect with Doug Baldwin and maybe one other player on this team, maybe Doug Baldwin more than once for a touchdown, and then we'll see what happens with this odd running game that Seattle has going on right now.
Sounds good to me.
We're not touching anybody from the 49ers, or you shouldn't.
Let's drop the hammer. This game, Green Bay going into the Dome in Atlanta, 2.5-point favorite for Atlanta, 53.5-point over-under on the game. I can wrap this game up in 30 seconds. I know you're going to want to do a more thorough job. My answer would be just play them all.
Yeah, play them all. You're the Mad King from Game of Thrones. Kill them all. Burn them all. Play them all.
I'm just the master of the obvious tonight. Play them all.
This is the game of the week. I love that it's Sunday night because we can expose ourselves to it in a plethora of ways, including the Sunday to Monday slate as well as the full main slate. So there's so many ways to get exposure to this one. So excited for it. Atlanta's favored here, which is interesting and understandable. They're at home. These are very similar teams. We saw this game play out in the playoffs last year. Atlanta came out ahead, but we saw an Atlanta offense that is fantastic, a Green Bay offense that can keep up, and a scoring bonanza. I hate to call anything a lock ever in any sports, but if there was ever a game that seems really, really likely to go high scoring, this is it. They should score a lot of points here. Now, again, maybe it's so high scoring that GPP needs to be pivoted off of it, blah, blah, blah. So let's get that out of the way right now. It's going to be high owned. This is chalk, right? Everybody's on this game.
It's flashing a beacon in your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that biggest, most exciting game of the week is, you know, the one that duds and kills everybody. Mm-hmm. But all that said, I don't think that's happening here. So let's just look at these two teams and understand where the scoring is going to come from. Number one, on Atlanta, the coach were talking about how, yeah, they messed up. They didn't get Julio Jones enough targets last week, and that we need to get him more involved. And they know with Green Bay coming to town that, you know, targeting Mohamed Sanu more times than Julio Jones is just not a recipe for a win. They're going to get Julio involved in this game and early, and he's going to be involved. I mean, he only had 5 targets last week, 66 yards, really? So they jacked up the salary on Julio all the way up to 92 to make him virtually unaffordable on DraftKings. So, you know, do with that what you will. Let's see what he has on FanDuel here. 8,800. So a more reasonable 8,800 on FanDuel, which sounds the same as 9,200 on DraftKings, but that is not how these two systems work. a more reasonable 8,800 on FanDuel. Again, a more affordable. I think you could play him a lot more on FanDuel this week because there's just so much value there. But I love him. Now, last week, Austin Hooper went crazy, and who the hell is Austin Hooper, right? He's this tight end for the Falcons, and, you know, we'd all heard of him. I remember him from last year. He was somebody we talked about, having some of my best ball leagues, but his big day came on two targets, so I don't want to get too excited about Austin Hooper, and, you know, all of a sudden he's this beast. He just kind of had an 88-yard touchdown catch, and then he had a second play for 40 yards. Like, interesting. You know, they throw deep to him. So I don't mind him here. By the way, he will be chalky. He's going to be very high on. I don't mind him. I think there was this thought that, like, oh, everybody's going to... I don't know if he's a cash play with just two targets last week. I'd rather get a guy who's kind of got a lockdown for more targets than that. But
let's say this. Gun to your head again. Hooper or Fleener?
I'm leaning Fleener.
Okay.
In cash.
Well, that's a target. That's a volume thing then.
Yeah. It's just I want the volume in my tight end position. And I just think they're going to feature Julio Jones much more so than they had. So, you know, that's really my main reasoning. It's just I see them featuring Julio. I could see Julio having one of his massive Julio days. But there's a lot more to talk about in this game. So, Devontae Freeman. This is one of those things where everybody saw him not do anything all that special last week. I'm not playing that guy. I put up 11 points. Okay. Now, I've never been super high on Freeman because of the lack of playing time he gets relative to his salary. Let's see what... they do about a 2-to-1 ratio of Freeman to Coleman. But, like, yeah. If you look at last week's game, Coleman got all of the targets. And he actually had a pretty decent game because of it. Like, he did shit on the ground, but he had 4 targets, 6 receptions, you know, 42 yards. That alone is that's gold. Why are they giving that to Coleman? I thought Freeman's supposed to get those. So I never really like playing these two guys, just in general. I don't like trying to figure out who's going to – you know, Freeman only targeted twice last week. Right? What's up with that? So they're trying to screw me out of my fantasy points with Freeman? Like, what's up with that? So, I don't love either of these two guys this week in general. But from a game theory point of view, no one touched Freeman last week. Or people used him, got screwed last week. And he's just not somebody that's on a lot of radars. So, you know, he's certainly in play. Tevin Coleman is certainly playable. Especially in the two-game slate. But I'm not super excited about those guys. So let's talk about the other side of the ball. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron. Awesome in this spot. Really good spot for him. Last week, Davante Adams really was kind of stifled a little bit. Adams is an inconsistent player anyway, but you know, the Seattle secondary is very good, and Adams definitely struggles against good players. I believe the Falcons have Desmond Trufant in the secondary, so they have a very good defender. And he might be shadowing Jordy Nelson. I expect him to. I would think so, at least on Wednesday, and I haven't heard otherwise. This could change as we list the blurbs and as I really dive a little bit deeper into some of the stats. But if that happens, then Davante Adams has opened up a little bit. And once again, you have a little more potential target share for Randall Cobb. So all of these pass catchers are in play. Ty Montgomery is my favorite play of the group, and I love Jordy Nelson. Even true, I don't care when Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers in the game together. It's very difficult for any even shutdown corner to really put a stop to the type of plays that they run. These back shoulder passes, and just the chemistry between Nelson and Rodgers is so solid that it's really tough for defenders to stop them.
Those two very much see eye to eye on broken plays too.
Yeah, and that's a lot of where Nelson does his damage. Like, you know, you know, with a mediocre defense like what Atlanta brings to the table, you know, Rodgers is going to be back to scramble around, get a little extra time, and that's when Nelson breaks free for that 60-yard touchdown. It doesn't take much for him to bring value. I think he's one of the best plays on the slate, Jordy Nelson. But again, I don't mind the secondary guys because there's going to be a lot of scoring going on in this game. And it's going to be spread around between your Nelsons, your Cobb, your Adams, and your Ty Montgomery. We don't know exactly where all the scoring is going to come from, but I mean, 28 points, and I kind of think it's going to – I would bet the over.
Ooh.
I'm not betting it. I don't bet these games ever because it interferes with DFS, but if I was, I'd probably bet the over, and maybe I'm a sucker public kind of style better, I don't know, but I just see this game as being high scoring, and when that happens, we just want to find as many players in the game to jam into our lineups as we can. Interesting on the Falcons side, again, that outside of, I guess you could go back to Sanu at 4,500 on DraftKings, not that expensive, but I mean, Sanu rarely, rarely puts up a good performance. And again, in GPPs, I really want a player that has a 20-plus point upside. And I see Sanu as more of like a 12-point upside at best. So he's not going to get me excited.
Is he kind of a decent floor, low ceiling kind of guy?
Yeah, I put him more in that category. He really has a big game. So, you know, could he catch four passes, 60 yards, and a touchdown? Yeah, but that's 17 points. I think that's the highest that he has in him, even in this crazy, crazy high-flying matchup. And I don't think he's getting there, or else I'd play him. I don't think he has very, very much chance at all to get there. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else in this game that interests me. But that's about it.
Martellus Bennett at all?
Yeah, I mean, he's playable too. Sure, let's see. Did he do anything last week? I don't even remember. I didn't pay attention to
He was targeted a little.
Let's see what Richard Rodgers got. Hang on. I like to look at
He was targeted more than Aaron Rodgers typically targets those tight ends, which, you know, maybe
here's,
gave me a little
bit of a like about. Here's what I like about Bennett, and maybe this is a sneaky play this week. He's super cheap. Richard Rodgers, the other tight end for Green Bay, wasn't targeted at all. So that's a good sign. And Bennett, again, three, it's not enough targets considering the opponent last week, but they were dominating Seattle, so they didn't really need to go to the tight end. Like, usually the tight end comes into play in these games where the outside wide receivers are covered really well. Rodgers went mostly to Cobb up the middle, and just, I mean, I'm not getting super excited about Bennett. I will definitely play him. Again, in the short slate, I think you have to. But he's not going to be a focus of my cash lineups anyway.
Sure. I was just throwing out the other kind Super of playable name.
That's a good one to throw out there. It's just a little bit still high risk. We haven't seen him do anything. I know I talked about kind of that, but he's new to this team, so I'm not going to trust him in cash for sure. And between the two quarterbacks, both are awesome cash plays, and I'm normally lean a little bit to the home favorite. So, I mean, you almost have to lean a little bit to Matt Ryan.
I see him as being the highest owned quarterback on the slate.
Let's see the salary.
I mean, it's usually a pretty flat.
You know, it's hard for me to pay more for Ryan than Rodgers. So I don't know if he'll be the highest, even though he's at home. I think people are going to go to Rodgers.
What I'm seeing so far is all of the little optimizers for free that I poke around with that everybody and their brother does too is all spitting out Ryan predominantly. So I'm thinking that's kind of where that ends up going. But
let's have to see what the domination station spits out, man. That's one I trust.
Yeah, well, duh. Yeah. So would I.
But absolutely. I haven't seen it. I mean, look.
The free ones are fun for me to poke around on because they kind of help me identify the chalk. Because, you know, everybody goes to the free optimizers. Very few people have subscriptions. More people need subscriptions. And that's another topic for another day. We've got a link down here at the bottom of the article that's going to point that to you. We've got one more game, dude.
All right, what's this last one?
Detroit at New York Giants. The Giants on Monday Night Football. Giants are 4-point favorites at home, 43.5-point total between the two. I mean, you can talk Monday Night Football game all you want. I mean, I'm going to honestly just finish my cigarette after I blew my wad on the Sunday Night Hammer.
There we go. I mean, listen, the Giants' defense is good, and it's very, very good. So you really want to avoid pass catchers going up against them. And, I mean, I said that last week with the Arizona defense, and obviously the Lions smoked them up. But the Lions are at home here. And, I mean, the Giants are at home, and the Lions don't play as well on the road. They just don't. So Giants defense in the two-game slate in play. That's who you're playing. That's who everybody's playing. I don't know if Odell Beckham's going to play this week. I don't know what the deal is with that. So I really can't speak to the Giants offense at all, because their offense does not run very well when Odell is not in there. And their running game is just non-existent. I don't trust any of them. So this is a really tricky one. I'm going to have to dive much deeper into this one as we get closer to that slate, just to get a sense and see if Odell Beckham is going to play and whatnot. But looking at this one on paper and just right now, there's virtually nothing I want to get involved with in this one. Virtually nothing.
That's why I'm just sitting here smoking my cig, man.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It wasn't anything I was looking for in it.
No, there's nothing to get involved with here. And somebody's like, oh, Odell Beckham's one of the best plays. I was like, yeah, if he plays, he'll be a very good play. If he comes back and he's healthy. But my problem is I don't like guys coming off injury. I like guys who get to practice the whole week and, you know, have played a little bit. So he's coming off injury, and I'm going to be concerned about paying up super premium dollars for Odell Beckham in his first game back off of an injury. So I don't know his health level. And again, why am I taking a risk with a guy
right
at that salary level? Oh, I can't even see what his salary is because – oh, wait, let me see if I have him in this one. Yeah, let's see here. Hang on. Yeah, I mean, he's – well, $8,000. At least he's a lot less than Julio Jones. So it's not the same price point. He's priced right around Jordy Nelson levels. So, All right. If he – again, this is Wednesday. We haven't even gotten practice reports, anything yet for the week. So if this week he's practicing all week and he looks great and the coach says, yeah, he's fantastic, then maybe I'll change my mind and say, you know, Odell's definitely worthy of a stud play. But as it sits, this whole game doesn't seem very appealing at all. Unfortunately, well, that, we end on a sad note. Let's go back to the
sure.
the hammer game and be like, yeah, Ryan.
And on that Rodgers,
freaking
we should have done the Monday night before.
Yeah, NFC Championship replay from last season. We saw this game. It was a lot of scoring. They're going to do it again.
That's hilarious. Well, I'll tell you what, that puts a bow on it. We're 15 minutes under last week, so that's good. We're working in the right direction. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Come back Friday, because that's when you drop your VIP-only podcast, obviously. That exclusive podcast features, you know, even more in the way of player picks and game theory analysis, stuff like that. And, of course, remember to follow all of our leaders from DFS Army on Twitter and use the coupon code 20OFF, 20-OFF, if you're going to pick up a DFS Army subscription and pick up that podcast. That private podcast is only for VIP members. So,
you know, that does it for me. Slack, the Domination Station Optimizer, the best projections, the best research, the best articles, one-on-one help. There is nothing like a DFS Army membership. The DFS Army team is the shit. We are the best DFS team out there. Six-figure wins all over our wall of wins. Check out the screenshots. We are not screwing around. This is not like other bullshit sites and groups that are all over the place popping up, no credentials, don't know what they're talking about. If you want to get involved, be on a team helping each other out with actual people who know what they're talking about, with tools that are awesome, check it out. Give us a try. You're going to love it. If you don't like it, go away. We don't care. You know what I mean? No obligation, whatever. But our people are dominating. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't want to, I like my free stuff. All right, good. You get what you pay for. But trust me when I tell you, you are not getting everything that you need off of people advising the public. I'm not here just to help my competition. When I do the Geeks Picks, when I come out with a VIP podcast, I'm talking about my specific plays for the week, who I'm playing in cash, who I'm playing in tournaments, who are projections like, why, strategy, all of that stuff that you will not get anywhere else. So that's my pitch.
I'm going to light another cigarette, man.
There we go.
That was awesome. All right. For your buddy Chop-a-Dong and for Kevin the Football Geek, that puts a wrap on the week 2 Vegas Lines podcast. Thanks, guys.
Take it easy. Let's make that money.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.